So my wife told you everything about Friday, and that was great. We appreciate all of you that volunteered, and that's partly why we're not having service tonight, so we don't wear out the saints, but to give you that night off in exchange for the efforts you put in for helping us with the church ministry on Friday. So we appreciate that, and we thank you for what part you played in that as well. The movie that we're going to see in 2 weeks is from a series called Dispatches from the Front, and we're talking about the Middle East this time, a very important part of current events now and also events in the future. I'll just read you a little snippet on the back here, and then that'll kind of give you a taste for what's coming. He is risen. Three words that change everything. This is wonderfully good news that was first announced to the woman at the empty tomb is still being declared boldly in the Middle East by the risen King's messengers. Dispatches from the Front goes into the region of centuries-old darkness and division that is now overshadowed by the fierce violence of ISIS terror. Yet the gospel is powerfully at work in the Middle East, and Christ is building his church there just as he said he would. Neither the gates of hell nor the gates of Islam can withstand the work from our risen King. From megacities in Arabia to refugee camps left in the wake of ISIS terror, this movie shows the headlines to showcase the gospel's power to save, the mercy and love of believers, and their abiding joy as Christ walks through the fires of persecution with them. If you remember last year, we did one of these dispatches from the front, and it's basically a fellow who has gone into these different missionary fields, journaling the things that are taking place, getting up with missionaries that are serving in these fields, and giving you a first-person look at what the missionaries face, good things as well as bad things, and it'll give you an opportunity to pray more effectively for the ministries that are taking place here. This one is only 67 minutes long, so, you know, you can bring your popcorn if you want to, but it won't be near as long as the war room. So you'll enjoy it. You'll get home a little earlier, and it will be a blessing to you. Okay, before we get into the message, I know the title is called Smiling Through Suffering. Just want to share with you a couple of verses here from Isaiah chapter 40, because it kind of prefaces what we're going to talk about today. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Okay. So, before we get into our message today, let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the folks that are here this morning, as well as the folks that couldn't be here this day. We know, Lord, that there are people, even though we greet them and they smile and we smile back, that there are folks carrying a burden today that nobody else knows about but you. And they need your hope, they need your comfort. And so I pray, Lord, that through this message we can see you speaking to us, giving us comfort so that we may come from here knowing that it was good to be in the house of the Lord, that we've been comforted, and that we can go out this week and comfort someone else. So we pray for your blessing now in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we talk about comforting, let's either back up 6 months or fast forward 6 months to January. Now, you know what January is like up here. And so, one of the best things you can have on a cold winter night is a comforter. And it soon becomes one of the most favorite blankets, if you want to put it that way, that you can have. Because you get warm, you settle in, you feel comfortable, and if you've got your fire going, you may fall asleep in that fire because you're all cuddled up. Maybe you're cuddled up with your significant other, and it's just a good feeling to know that you're in a warm place and that you're being taken care of. With God's word, we also need to know that there's some comfort there, that he is taking care of us. Now, the message that we start today in 1 Peter is kind of the comfort that he provides in this message as if he was sitting right next to you this morning. Some of you husband and wives sit next to each other. Some of you may not have anyone to sit next to. But think of it this way. If the Lord were to sit next to you, what kind of comfort could he give you today? You're going through trials, tribulations, some spiritually, some physically, and some emotionally. And you're just, you know, you're here today because the Lord wants you to be here today, and we appreciate that. But the Lord wants you to have comfort today, whatever your situation is. So in Peter's first letter, he tells us how to endure suffering with a sense of peace and joy. He doesn't do it with a whole lot of positive thinking. And we're not going to say, you know, you're going to get rich quick or any of those other schemes that you see on TV. But just have a friend sit down with you and turn your attention to heaven and to find a new hope. So as we look at verses 1 and 2, it talks about the chief apostle writing a letter to you addressed to all the Christians driven by hardship into a harsh and hostile world. You know, the nice thing about not so much even Ridge Baptist Church, although it is a beautiful building, to be together with Christians of like precious faith. There is so much comfort to be found in God's people. And if you don't find comfort in God's people, please see me after the service. I will help you. But we need to come to a place each week that is from apart from this world, which has its own answers to problems, obviously not godly, but answers so that people will have their drink, will have their drugs, will do all kinds of outrageous behavior to think that that will make them feel better, when indeed it does not. So in these verses, it talks about the strangers scattered. Now, we would look at that verse and say, they're all over the place. But that word scattered could also refer to people who have fractured spirits or broken hearts. It's not just in Lubeck, but it's everywhere. And people are looking for answers, and they're not finding them. So sometimes we think in a sense that, and we talked about this in James, that getting even or defending yourself is the best way to take care of yourself. However, we can find hope despite any unfair treatment you have encountered. Now, in this passage, it talks about God's people. Now, we know that it's referring to God's chosen people as Israel, but there's no reason why Christians can't be referred to as those that are chosen as well. Those that are made holy and set apart in the Spirit and the blood of Christ and serve him through obedience. You indeed are chosen. And then we see in the verse the phrase, the fullest measure of peace. So in the midst of all of the chaos of this everyday life, we can find a full measure of peace. Now, in verses 3 through 9, we find out how to cope with suffering. Now, not every message is a how-to. You know, sometimes when you're going through a building project or a something, you find that book on the shelf, how to build a deck or how to do a certain thing. Or you go on the internet and do somewhat the same thing. But in these verses, 3-9, it's an idea of how to cope with suffering. But it's not just coping, but it's also rejoicing. And Peter gives us 6 reasons that we can rejoice through suffering. All right, so here's 6 possessions that we have in an abiding relationship with our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First of all, is a living hope. And that living hope is for the folks that are saved. First of all, we have Christ's resurrection from the dead. We can praise the Lord because we know someday that we will be with Him. Our ultimate destination is heaven. You know, there was an expression some years ago that said, your paycheck may seem small, but the benefits are out of this world. And so we as Christians have to look at our current state in life and say, it may be difficult now, but in the future, things are definitely going to get better. Now, the unsaved people don't have this hope because their hope lies in, I hope I win the lottery. I hope my boy shapes up. I hope things work out at my job. I hope I make it to the next paycheck. And you know people that think this way. They don't really have the hope that we have. And I get to pick on my wife for this because she has said this on many a time. What do unsaved people do that don't have the Lord? Well, they don't have that hope, do they? They put it in any number of things, as we've already mentioned. The drinking, the drugs, the pornography, anything that they can find in the deepest places of life that they think will make them feel better, when in essence, it will not. We will be raised like Him in glorified bodies to dwell in a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. And those are promises and hopes that only us as saved people can know. Secondly, we have a permanent inheritance. Now, some of you have gone through the experience of having a reservation canceled, whether it be a plane, a hotel, or a car rental. We went through some of that on our way up here this year, except it was kind of the opposite. It was like we checked into a motel and they said, you already have a reservation here. So you've got 2 reservations, and we had to straighten that all out. But sometimes people get to the airport, they're ready to get on their flight. Oop, you've been bumped from your flight. You're going to have to wait. No, don't want to do that. And so we find situations where our reservation has been canceled. This will never happen with your reservation in glory. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's there forever. No erasable ink, no erasers, you're in. The God of glory will welcome you without any red tape, and our inheritance is sure. Let me read to you a little poem, and this will kind of sum it up to a certain degree. It will always be news. It will never decay. No night ever comes. It will always be day. How it gladdens my heart with joy that's untold to think of that land where nothing grows old. So, we have a living hope. We have a permanent inheritance. And verse 5, number 3 is a divine protection. We are protected by the power of God. God's hand of comfort and protection will remain with us. No matter if we're going through a calamity, a pain, or a catastrophe, God is in control. And I know some of you are thinking of those 51 girls that were drowned in Texas, you know, in a Christian camp, no less. How is God going to use that? You know, we always think of, how can a God of love allow something like this to happen? And as difficult as it sounds, we have to claim Romans 8:28. Somehow, that's going to work together for good. I know, you know, explain that to the 51 parents that lost little girls. But yet, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that goes on in this world, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And yet, he's going to even take care of that situation as well. He is all powerful, all good, and all knowing, and he will protect our souls. Number four, we have a developing faith in verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, our trials bring about a growing and strengthening faith. Now, when I was 5 years old, I had a broken arm, and I used to show it off to my students in class because it was broken right at the elbow, and so when it healed, it didn't heal right. My arm starts this way and then takes a bad turn to the right. And Howard knows that when we played church softball, I could throw a tremendous curveball with that. And so it worked out fine. But the point that I want to make to you here is the fact that when we break a bone, it actually comes back stronger than it was in the first place. It grows together much stronger. And so when we think about a strengthening faith, here's four things that we need to remember about trials. Trials are necessary to humble us, to turn our attention from ourself to God. So many times we have our own pity party and say, woe is me, I'm going through this. Does God even know that I'm going through this? Yes, he does. Number two, distresses are painful and difficult. Number three, things that are very diverse, trials come in different forms, different times, and different durations. It was what we were talking about with Max Lucado's book. You're gonna have a difficult time. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a while, but you're going to come through. Number four, prove the genuineness of our faith. You know, we sing that song sometimes, oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. For when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. He's going to prove us by our faith, and we will come forth through that trial, praising him for what he has done. We don't rejoice over the trial itself, but we can rejoice about the results brought about by God. Number five, seen in verse 8, is the unseen Savior. That when we see Christ clearly in the times of trial, now we remember doubting Thomas, who didn't have the faith he ought to have until he saw the nail prints in his Savior's hands. John 20:29 tells us, blessed are they that did not see and still believe. I hope that's true for all of you here this morning. You didn't see Christ die on the cross. You read about it in your Bible. Somebody told you about it from the pulpit or some other place, and you believed it. And so we have the faith to know that even though we didn't see it happening, we believe that it did. Okay, here's number six. We also have a guaranteed deliverance in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is kind of like lost luggage. And I can, again, refer you to my dear wife. One year we were traveling back from New York, and the airline that we flew from Albany decided not to land in New York City, but to land in Islip, Long Island. Yeah, like, where is that? Well, you're right. Not someplace that we don't want to go to again. Because on our way back to college, my wife lost her luggage, or shall I say the airline lost my wife's luggage. And so, you know, I had Christmas candy and Christmas presents that she got and so forth. And I guess the time frame on that was 8 weeks. If they did not find her luggage in 8 weeks, they would refund her whatever they deemed the value of it was. Well, wouldn't you know, 7 weeks in, we found your luggage. Was the candy still good? I don't think so. But anyway, there's no guarantee that you're going to get your luggage, sorry to say. And some of you have been through that yourself. However, Christ can guarantee delivery because the salvation of our souls is guaranteed. And we can rejoice in the midst of our suffering. Everyone can give testimony to that. Now, in these last three verses, verses 10 through 12, it tells us that God always makes good on his promises, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Prophets looked forward in hope toward Christ, and Christ came. We look forward to the return of Christ, and Christ will come. Verse 11 speaks of, and the glory that should follow, as you see at the end of verse 11. And that's the same phrase that is used in Isaiah chapter 11 and Psalm 45. Because it's interesting here that the Old Testament prophets kind of looked at two mountain peaks, as it were. They saw Mount Golgotha with the cross and the suffering that took place, and Mount Olivet, which was the glory. Now, when they looked at it, they said, oh, these two mountains are very close together. But as you know, when you look at it from a certain angle, they aren't close together at all. You know, that would be like saying, okay, I see Graham and Ian out there, and it looks pretty close today. But if I decide I want to swim over there, I ain't going to make it. And so things are much further away than they seem. Or even mountaintops here. We were flying up in the end of April, and we took a direct flight from Raleigh-Durham up to Portland. And so we skirted around New York City. And as we were going around New York City, I could see from a distance the city itself with all the tall buildings and so forth. And I mentioned to Judy, those buildings don't look very tall at all. Now, you go into New York City and you look at the Empire State Building and you keep looking up and you keep looking up. That's a tall building. But from our distance, they don't seem very big at all. And so for these Old Testament prophets, there's one thing they were missing between Golgotha and Mount Olivet, and that's the church age, where we are now. So we have something between when Christ died on the cross and the glory that we look forward to in the future. Verse 12. Here the prophets are preaching the same thing that the apostles preaching the same thing that the prophets did. The prophets were writing for a future time, and the apostles preached the good news by the empowering work of the Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures. Now, he is using us today to get that message out And I know verse 12 speaks of the angels, but the angels can only do just so much. And so God has equipped us to go out and share that gospel with others. So the question I have for you this morning is, do we marvel at the hope we have in Christ? Do we have something so wonderful, but do we keep it to ourselves, or do we share it with others? We see this as the beginning of Peter's first letter, and we'll see more as we go through it next week. But what can you share with others today that would bring them closer to Christ? Not the way the world does it, but the way God does it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to these folks. I just know that I'm just a vessel that you're using in a special way, and I pray that these words go out and that these folks can use it. And whether they need comforting today, I pray, Lord, that you would give them that comfort. But help them, Lord, not just to keep that comfort to themselves, but to share the promise, to share the good news that Jesus saves. So bless us now as we finish our service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.